Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome home. This is Deanna, and we want to thank you for being a part of the Life Together podcast. Before we get into this week's teaching with Pastor Tom, we want you to know that you matter to God and you matter to us. Life Together is a Wednesday evening gathering for worship, Bible study, and community at Oak Creek Assembly of God here in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. We pray that this week's message is life-giving, encouraging, challenging, and possibly even life-changing.
International espionage movies are great. Spy thrillers. You have the invincible hero, secret agent. There's a gadget guy, sidekick. Car chases, mystery, betrayal, informants, double agents. And of course, the fate of the world is at stake. International espionage spy thriller movies are great. That's not in the Bible. That's my opinion. Here's how all of these spy movies end. The spy saves the world in secret. The world is spared from ruin because one person or a small team act in secret. They know what they did. Their leaders know what they did, but the world is oblivious, not aware that they were spared. The world is not aware that the planet has been spared because of what this individual or this small team did in secret. Here's the point. God is looking for secret agents, people who are passionate, people who love Jesus, and who are willing to operate as disciples in secret. And so my encouragement for us tonight is that we would be people who are committed secret agents for Christ. That you and I, that we would be people who are willing to put our strength into getting it done, that we'd be more interested in getting it done than being recognized. We're back in our Sermon on the Mount series, and we started this back before the whole coronavirus, COVID-19 pandemic dramatically changed our lives. However, what we're going to talk about tonight is absolutely relevant, speaking to the way that we respond to what we see happening in our world. Jesus delivered Sermon on the Mount on the side of a mountainside to his first followers. The end goal for that first audience and the end goal for us now, as Jesus speaks to us, the end goal, it's not knowledge, it's action. The end goal of the Sermon on the Mount teaching is that you and I, that we would be people of action. In Sermon on the Mount, Jesus challenges our motives. He challenges our attitudes. He shows us a better way to live, better relationships with others, and how to have a better relationship with our Heavenly Father. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus calls upon us to live out three disciplines in secret: acts of compassion, prayer, and fasting. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus calls on us to live out three disciplines in secret: acts of compassion, prayer, and fasting. When it comes to these three areas, Jesus, his desire for you is that you would be a secret agent. And tonight, we're going to unpack the first one, acts of compassion, being a secret agent of compassion. I encourage you to have your Bible open right where you are. Go ahead and head to Matthew chapter 6. And here's how Jesus opens this portion of the teaching on being a secret agent. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus says this: "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Beware. It's a warning. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Now, as we get into this, you may be thinking, I've been there. I've done that. I've heard this message before. This is the one about doing good things for other people, expecting nothing in return. This is not that message. In fact, if you read through, as we're going to do in a minute here, you will not see the phrase, expect nothing in return. Actually, what you and I are going to see is Jesus talks about the opposite of expect nothing in return. Jesus talks a lot about rewards here, even going as far as telling us that we can expect rewards for acts of compassion. The word translated into English as reward means to get paid for what you did. The Greek word that is translated into English as righteousness, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. That word righteousness, in the original Greek, it means acts of mercy, alms, donations to the poor, acts of compassion, giving to those who have less than when you have more than. Jesus gives us a warning about our motive. It's the what and the why. The what is the external act of compassion. The internal reasoning for what we do, that is the why. And Jesus is just as much concerned about the why, the motive, maybe even more so than the what, the actual external act of compassion. So Jesus says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Being seen by others is not the problem. In fact, others seeing you live out acts of compassion can be a good thing. I hope that my kids see me living out acts of compassion. I hope that that's something that is contagious for them. Maybe other people will be inspired by your acts of compassion. Being seen by others is not the problem. Here is the problem. If being seen by others is your motivation for carrying out acts of compassion, that is the problem. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Jesus says, if your motive for doing good is to be seen by others, expect no reward from God. Verse 2. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Jesus says, when, not if, you give to the needy. Jesus takes for granted that his original audience is already doing the what, the acts of compassion. Giving to those in need, along with praying and fasting, these were disciplines that were central to living out a religious Jewish life. So Jesus, to his original audience, he doesn't say if, he assumes that they are already giving alms. They're already showing mercy. They're already donating. They're already carrying out acts of compassion. Jesus assumes the acts of compassion. What he gets up in their business about, up into their mind, up into their hearts, is the why. He is confronting their heart condition. He is confronting motivation. And he says, if your motive for doing good is to receive attention and praise and promotion from other people, you may get that reward from other people. If your intent is to be seen by others and have them clap for you, that may happen. The reward giver that you're longing after is other people. It's not God. Now, were people actually blowing trumpets for their acts of charity? Jesus says, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Were people actually blowing trumpets? Probably not. Maybe not. Jesus uses hyperbole throughout Sermon on the Mount. Hyperbole is intentional exaggeration. What they were clearly doing was that they were living out acts of charity for the purpose of being seen by others. They were putting their strength into being seen, not into just getting it done. The Greek word for hypocrite, Jesus says, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. The Greek word for hypocrite is a word that would be used for an actor in a play. Jesus says, if you are carrying out acts of compassion for the purpose of attention, that's not true relationship with God. That's just acting the part. So here's the question for you and I to wrestle with tonight. Are we people of faith, or are we just acting the part? Jesus, he calls out the hypocrites. If you have a problem with people of faith being hypocritical, you have something in common with Jesus. Jesus, he took issue with people who put a lot of effort into being squeaky clean on the outside, yet inside they were full of spiritual garbage. Jesus says they have received their reward. If you're doing whatever you're doing for the applause, enjoy the applause, because Jesus says that's the full measure of your reward. And let's be honest tonight, let's be real. There are some, and maybe it's been you at some time in your life, maybe it's you tonight, you would reluctantly but honestly admit that the motivation for your acts of compassion is driven by some sort of desire to receive acknowledgement from people. You're hoping that your client will see your act of compassion so that the deal can be closed, or so that you keep the deal. You're hoping your boss will see your act of compassion so you will get the promotion. You're hoping that that cute girl will see your act of compassion so she will go out with you. Verses 3 and 4. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. This is where it gets good. Jesus gives us one more check yourself here. He says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. One of the theologians that I read as I was preparing for this Bible teaching, he said that a way that people gave donations when Jesus spoke this was to walk by a box, and they would place their donation into a box. And so Jesus says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So Jesus is saying that maybe drop the donation using your right hand, and the left side of your body wouldn't even realize what's going on. Here's what he means by this. Jesus confronts self-praise. Jesus confronts self-praise. He confronts acts of compassion where the highest purpose is making yourself feel good. Now, it is not wrong to feel good about doing the right thing. In fact, I hope you feel good about doing the right thing. Where Jesus confronts us is, he says, this should not be our highest priority. If our highest motivation of doing good for others is so that we should feel good, that's out of step with where he'd like for our hearts to be. And this is the good part. This is all these warnings have been building up to this. Here's where Jesus recruits you and I to be a secret agent, so that your giving may be in secret. Your heavenly Father, who sees in secret. Acts of compassion in secret. Acts of compassion where your primary motivation is to be the hands and feet of Christ. This is what's so encouraging. Jesus emphasizes how doing good for others in secret elevates our relationship with our Heavenly Father. How good is that? Jesus promises this. When you carry out acts of compassion in secret, you will be rewarded by God. when you carry out acts of compassion and your motivation is to get it done, not get the attention, you will be rewarded by your Heavenly Father. And who is a better giver of rewards than the one who has access to the resources of the universe? There is no better reward giver than the one who has access to the resources of the universe. Jesus says there is a reward when the motive for doing good is to secretly meet the needs of others. The reward giver is your Father in heaven. The world is a better place when we are Christ's secret agents of compassion. It may be a financial donation to a nonprofit. It could be a cash gift to an individual. I'm so thankful for financially generous people, and you know who you are. You have given sacrificially. You have gone without so that someone else might have, and God has seen your generosity in that area. Acts of compassion, it's not just about the cash. It's not only about the Benjamins. Who is in need of your compassion? Anyone who has less than and you have more than. Anyone who has less than in a category where you have more than, that person is a candidate for your acts of compassion. Maybe you have more in areas like physical strength, tools or supplies, time, handyman capabilities, cooking skills. During this safer at home season, it feels like there are a lot more cannots than cans, but there are still many ways where you can be a person who carries out secret acts of compassion. Maybe you want to FaceTime someone who is in isolation. You want to FaceTime friends and family. Stay connected. Even in this current state that we're in, you can still babysit for families where the parent or both parents are in essential sectors and the kids are home from school and they're scrambling to see who's going to watch their kids. You can still help with meals for families that have someone in the hospital. Perhaps your act of compassion is to order from that local business that you know, order takeout from that restaurant. One way my kids have been living out acts of compassion during this safer at home order is that they've been mailing drawings and cards to friends and family members. Here's the point. Use your more than to serve someone with less than. Use your more than to serve someone with less than. Your Father in heaven who sees in secret will reward you. Be a committed secret agent for Christ. How would this community be transformed if each one of us in the coming days were to carry out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 secret acts of compassion? Look at how many views this video has and multiply that by acts of compassion. What a footprint that would lead. What a footprint that would leave. With hundreds of acts of compassion, not done for our glory, but so that the restoring name of Jesus Christ might be shared with a community, a state, a nation, and a world that right now is so hungry for hope. Those of you who are watching, and you would say, this is not new, I'm not a rookie, I've been a secret agent of compassion for a long time. What you would probably tell us is that you have experienced the promised rewards from your Father in heaven as a result of those acts of compassion, as a result of being a secret agent, and you've experienced rewards this side of eternity. There are others, you're asking the question, what do God's rewards look like? Well, let me give you a few examples right from the Bible. God may reward you with material wealth or possessions. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, give freely and become more wealthy. A testimony that we have seen in this area might be someone who God has laid on their heart to give away their car, even though they had no backup plan. They gave away their car. And their testimony would be that after they gave away their car, God provided another vehicle. Another way that God rewards is assistance and support in times of trouble or distress. Psalm 41, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. Here's another way that God rewards. He may give you influence, God-given influence. He may put you in charge of something. Psalm 112, verse 9. People of faith who share freely and give generously to those in need, their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. Wouldn't it be great to have the testimony that you have evidence that you received influence and leadership as a result of acting as a secret agent for Christ? Then Jesus also says there are rewards the other side of eternity. Luke 14, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says this, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. God will reward you when others may not be able to repay. You're going to give to them with the full knowledge that they may never repay you. However, you are going to proceed with the promise that you will be rewarded by your Father in heaven, and that is good. Now, this is not prosperity gospel. This is not name it, claim it. We don't get to choose our reward. This is not the prize counter at Chuck E. Cheese. This is trusting the reward system of our all-knowing Heavenly Father. A Heavenly Father who knows what we need more than we know what we need. Trusting God's plan for rewards is part of acting as a secret agent for Christ. What many of us have discovered is that our Heavenly Father's way of distributing rewards is far better than any system we could come up with on our own. And as we close tonight, here's the greatest reward. The greatest reward from your Heavenly Father is that He offers you a hope through His Son, Jesus Christ. Your Heavenly Father, He loves you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sin and your rebellion. And then 3 days later, after Jesus Christ suffered on the cross for our sin, He defeated the grave. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive new life in Him. You have new hope for now and for eternity. And if you want to make Jesus Christ your Savior, it's a decision you can make right now. In your own words, talk to God. Not to me, talk to God. Tell your Father in heaven, Father, I receive your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. I repent. I turn from my sin and my sinful ways. Tell God that you realize, you now see how your sin, how your rebellion has hurt you, it's hurt others, and it's damaged, it's severed your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Tell Him that today, tell your Heavenly Father that today is the day you declare Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, and you want to devote the rest of your days to serving and following His Son, Jesus Christ, desiring to be more like Jesus tomorrow than you are today. It's a great decision. No one can make it for you, and you're invited to make that decision right now, a first-time commitment or a recommitment. And all of us, whether you've just made the decision to be a follower of Christ or whether you've been a follower of Christ for many, many years, let's all be secret agents of compassion. Let's be secret agents of compassion. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. We are so thankful for the saving name of Jesus, the name that sets us free from the captivity of sin, the captivity of addiction. Thank you for being our hope in times of distress. And Father, we know there are many right now who would describe this as a season of distress. Maybe there's anxiety because life has changed so much. There's anxiety because of isolation. There's trouble because of a change in a work situation. There's been a furlough. There's been a layoff. Maybe the business has had to close temporarily. You know what the situation is. Father, thank you for being the comforter. Father, show us how to be the secret agents that you've called us to be, secret agents of compassion. Father, lead us to be people who do things for the right reasons. Help us to be people that put our strength into getting it done, not getting attention. Father, you know the families who have been impacted directly by the coronavirus, and there's someone that they love, there's someone who they care about that's hospitalized, that they have the symptoms. Maybe they're quarantined at home. Maybe they have a test or they're waiting for test results. Father, you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to be the healer. We declare the healing name of Jesus Christ over each and every one. Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have to connect, that we can stay linked even though we are separated physically. Father, we believe the best is yet to come. We're thankful that there is no panicking in heaven. Father, we believe that this too shall pass. And we're thankful, Lord, that you are on the throne, desiring, Lord, that as a result of this disruption, that we would look beyond the horizontal, looking vertically to you for your guidance, your direction, and for your relationship. Thank you for desiring relationship with us. In Jesus' name we pray. And right now, wherever you are, go ahead and shout a great big amen.
Thank you so much for being with us for the Life Together podcast this week. It's even better when we get to see you in person. Life is best lived in community. You're invited to join us on Wednesday evening here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. We are a church that exists to reach our world for Christ as we lead people just like you to discover and become who God created you to be. Find us online at oakcreekag.org/life.